97.5 The Fanatic.
ESPN.com joins our pregame show and, of course, joins us every week right here on the postgame show, the great Tim McManus. Tim, as always, how you doing and initial thoughts on today's game?
Gentlemen, I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. Hopefully you guys are as well. I'm sure an angry group you have on your hands.
I think we're kind of past angry, Tim, as a whole. I think it's more like apathetic, despondent, just like, what the hell are we watching? The anger's not there that much.
Maybe because it's the same stuff over and over again. And once you see the movie 100 times, then, you lose emotion.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, and it was a repeat performance, really, from last week in many ways. I mean, number one, the point total, 17, the same thing. The issues on third down, 2 of 12, same deal as last week. Issues with shooting yourself in the foot with penalties, 4 for 28 in the first half. Same thing. Carson Wentz struggled, same thing. And this was after so much lip service from this team this week. Doug Peterson getting on the radio, pissed off. All right, buddy. Brandon Graham saying, well, we've identified these mistakes we're making in practice, and the leaders have taken it upon themselves to make sure that there's more self-policing, and we're going to clean all this stuff up. Carson Wentz got in front of the team this week, made a speech. I mean, all this stuff that they're trying to generate a different outcome, and it is the exact same outcome, which is startling and disturbing for this football team.
So basically it is what it is, Tim. They're 3-6-1 for a reason. It's because it all comes back to whether it's preparation or whether it's just the team sticking in general. It's not a fluke that they're 3-6-1 at this point. Is that how you feel?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, no question about it. I don't see any they got robbed here, or it could have broken differently here. I mean, they shouldn't be in first place. They are because they're in the NFC East, but they are a really bad football team. And that's largely because they're getting really bad quarterback play. I mean, Wentz's descent is just striking and astonishing.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever witnessing anything quite like this, but just entering this week, guys. So this is before all these bad stats that he put up today. He entered week 11 ranked 32nd in completion percentage, 31st in yards per attempt, first in interceptions, and first in sacks. And then he followed that up with another bad game today, in which he had, of course, the pick six, the two interceptions, the safety sack in the end zone. And, just going over that tape last week, I think the same thing is going to pop up on the tape this week, and that is a quarterback who just doesn't have a great feel for what's going on right now, that is holding on to the ball too long, is not making anticipation throws. And, he's got some things working against him. That offensive line, three-fifths of it went down today. But at the same time, he is not – he just doesn't seem to have a feel for the game right now, and that's just so evident.
Tim, would you have benched him today?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I've been going back and forth about this. I think that you can make a strong case for it. I think the problem is, guys, is that, once you do that, where do you go from there?
Yeah. Right.
And that's kind of the big problem. Like, do I think that he deserved to get benched? Yes. But do I think that this offense will be better with Jalen Hurts? Yes, I do, actually. I think that this offense will be better with Jalen Hurts right now. I think that they would kind of simplify it. They would do the zone read game. The ball would be out of his hands quicker. There would be some rhythm to this offense. There would be some turnovers, and it wouldn't be perfect. I'm not saying it would score 40 points a game, but yes, I think the offense would be better. The problem is that once you do that, what do you do with Wentz?
Yeah.
And if you just say, it's just for a game, but Hurts plays great, then the locker room's divided. Easy.
Yep.
So that's hard to do. And just saying, we're just going to ride with Hurts. Well, what are you going to do with the $32 million a year quarterback who you saddled with for at least through 2021? What can you do? So it really goes back to, the organizational thinking for using a second round pick on Jalen Hurts when there's really no great outcome for using him. So So yes, I think he was deserving of it. No, I probably wouldn't have done it because of the way that they've handcuffed themselves when it comes to this quarterback situation.
Sheesh. Tim, here on the Comcast Business Hotline with us, Bounce Forward, you were probably on the Zoom call where Brandon Graham was interviewed after the game. And tell me if we're looking too much into this, but he was asked about Doug Peterson getting asked about potentially benching Carson Wentz. And Brandon's comments, look, he's one of the most important voices in that locker room, as you know. May not have had his back. Tell me if we're reading too much into this. He said, I'm confident in whatever coach wants to do and whatever they try to figure out on the offensive side. That ain't got nothing to do with the defense. What do you make of that?
I think it was more of a guy trying to stay in his lane than it was of not giving, whether it's reading between the lines and it's saying something about his lack of confidence in Carson Wentz. Because who knows? I don't know that he had a full picture of what Peterson's comments were.
Yeah, that's fair.
In relation to Wentz. I'm not going to read too much into that. I think the messaging really from Graham was, that's the other side of the ball.
Our
business, and we're just going to keep focused on our tasks. So I'm not reading into too much, although I understand why you could read into it.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, to me it seems like, I think the players know what we all know. I think they know what's holding this team back. Obviously, nobody's going to come out and shred the dude. But, when the defense makes a goal line stand at the half-inch yard line, and it's a real momentum boost for the team, for them to watch the quarterback go back out there and throw, honestly, Tim, I don't even know what the hell that play was. Why he didn't pull the trigger to Rager right away, and then he threw, a perfect leading pick six, just alley-oop. That's got to be pretty deflating for the defense to watch that. And this isn't the first time this happened.
No, it is. I mean, you remember last year, Malcolm Jenkins always talking about complementary football and trying to hammer that home. He was one player that would step outside of, I'm a defender and kind of look at it more globally and what needs to happen. He wasn't afraid to speak his mind in that respect. And he would often talk about the lack of complementary football that was going on with Wentz at the helm on the offensive side when they were struggling for the better part of last year. And certainly, that can take its effect over the course of a season. If the offense and the quarterback continue to do that, it can take its effect on wide receivers when they don't feel like they're being utilized to their strengths or being maximized in their potential, whether that's, the play calling from Peterson or the ineffectiveness of Wentz. That's going to start grading on these receivers if it hasn't already, no doubt about it. This stuff can be felt and there can be, kind of a dissipation of camaraderie when things start going south. The wins are the cure all and when it goes the other way, it can go real sour on you. I've seen a number of bad locker rooms. The key ingredient, of course, is losses. And if it keeps going that way, then there can definitely be some fracturing within the locker room.
Tim, last one for me. We're speaking to Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce Forward. We've always complained for the last couple of years about Jason Peters having to come off the field a lot. There's been issues with false start penalties. But to date, as an Eagle, this might have been Jason Peters' worst game at left tackle. And then Doug Peterson said he was banged up at the end. That's why he came off the field. I kind of sniff out a lie there, and I think they wanted to just get Mailata out there. Is there any chance that they move to Mailata back at left tackle? I know he wasn't perfect when he was playing, but I don't care about the conditions with the rain today. Jason Peters is just awful today, and he hasn't been great since he came back from injury.
No, he should not be playing at left tackle. I think that's pretty evident. The quality of play is there for you to see with your own eyes. And then also the logic of not you playing him and seeing what you have in Mailata is there for you as well. It's this season, if they win a division or they don't, is irrelevant. It's a bad football team that needs to figure out its future and is up against the cap. Jason Peters is not going to be here next year. Alshon Jeffrey is not going to be here next year. So why the hell are they in these yeah. positions yep. that they are right now? Why is Jeffrey, not to mention he's not productive, why is he taking snaps away from a guy like John Hightower who needs to develop? If you want to figure out what you have at left tackle with Mailata, why is Jason Peters taking those reps, especially because he could be used right now at right guard because Matt Pryor is not holding up his end of the bargain. So there's multiple reasons why the configuration should be different than it is. And I think that the Eagles are completely misguided for continuing to go out and put forward the things that they're putting forward when it comes to these veterans. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that because of the play and because of the big picture mentality that they should have, Jason Peters should not be your left tackle, but it just seems like they're scared to like go against him. Like,
yeah.
You know, they just got to do it. They got to suck it up and they got to do the right thing.
It's almost like he's friends with the owner or something. Tim, last one for me. They're on the trajectory right now where heads are going to roll, or at least one, you know, big head is going to have to roll. Who's most likely to be that head?
Peterson.
Really?
Yeah.
Ahead of, yeah. Like, I would consider Schwartz a big head.
You're talking about, okay.
Like Schwartz, Doug, Howie, Carson, we all know is going to be here next year because of his contract. Yeah. Basically, those are the three I'm looking at right now. If you had Doug, Jim, and Howie all lined up, who's the head to go?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the big three of being Peterson, Roseman, and Wentz. I would say that Peterson is the most vulnerable of that group. When it comes to Schwartz, I mean, yeah, maybe you can put him as equally vulnerable or a little bit more. I think you're right to point out. I mean, you can also look at, you know, special teams has not been doing well either.
No.
And so, you know, that's going to make, if it continues, it's going to make Dave Fitt vulnerable. As we know, you know, if it continues to go on this course where it feels like they're like plummeting towards rock bottom.
Yeah.
There have been Eagles teams that we've seen that the last two teams, as a perfect example, they look like they're done. They fight back. They come and they make the playoffs. But this team has a different feel though to me. I don't know if you guys agree, but it just feels like they're on this crash course for rock bottom and it's not going to stop. And if that ends up proving to be the correct projection for them, then it seems like, you know, it's impossible to come back with the same group. So what does that look like? Does Jeffrey Lurie make a massive decision or does he make smaller decisions? I don't know what the answer is going to be yet. And I think the rest of the season will help dictate whether, in fact, it is going to be a very significant change at the top or if it's going to be a little bit less explosive.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just don't think this team has any really life left in them. Tim, thanks as always, man, for coming on, and we'll talk to you next week when the Eagles, I don't know, probably the same story against Seattle.
All right, boys, always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
And you as well, Tim.
Yeah, you too, man.
Be safe out there. There he is, Tim McManus, ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter, @Tim_McManus.
Always enjoy our conversations.
Yeah, I don't think they have any life left.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.